I'm Kevin Barcinas, and welcome back to Men Don't Cry, the show where my hair takes on a new color, shape, and form in every episode. But really, we're here to discuss the tattoos of a male-dominated world, a show where inklings of masculinity are skin deep. Today we have Brooke McGill. Welcome, Brooke.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Brooke is 20 years old. She was born in Van Nuys, and if you want to follow her Instagram, it is stripmallmom. That is STRIPMALLMOM. It is her first semester here at Pierce College, so I'd like to welcome you officially.
Thank you very much.
To the campus. And she might be a theater major, but she did work as a PA previously. So the first thing I wanted to discuss is, it's really important that we had a female aspect on masculinity. And as a trans person, I think the first thing we should talk about is, like, what is the definition of cis and trans for the viewers who don't know?
To be honest, I don't really think about that much. I mean, cis is kind of, you know, normal, what you're used to. Trans is really nothing different. It's just kind of not being cis and wanting to be, I guess.
Okay.
It's pretty bad. Sorry.
No, that's, everyone has their own definition of it, which is what I like to hear from people. Yeah. I think I want to start the show once again with a little bit of myth busting, if you're open to talking about some misconceptions that people have.
I am not a very closed off person. Go right ahead with everything.
Okay. So we will discuss five myths, and the first one we'll start with, that you can bust for us if you'd like to, is that, one, all trans people are straight.
Is that a thing? Is that something that people believe?
That is something that people,
I mean, I guess, believe. No. I mean, from my experience, I mean, I'm bisexual. Honestly, with most trans people I know, they're not straight. I mean, you know, it's like saying that all white people are straight or something. It's just there's no correlation, you know,
between gender identity and sexual
absolutely
identity.
It isn't really. I haven't seen it. I was completely unaware that people even thought that.
Wait till you hear the rest of these myths.
Oh dear. Okay,
so our second myth about trans people. Number two, trans people cannot serve in the military because of their hormones.
I mean, I guess I'm not too sure on that one. I'm not a big expert on military stuff. I know that there's some legislation coming up. I know there's some debates about not necessarily because of hormones, but like coverage of getting on hormones, where people are like, oh well, you know, they should be allowed to serve, but their hormones shouldn't be covered, which is kind of weird because, like, you know, like Cialis and stuff gets covered by it anyway.
And I was reading up on that, and it actually, they were saying that the cost for, like, trans-related medical insurance,
it's so much lower.
It's $25,000 to $70,000, which is less than everything else that we actually need. So it wouldn't even affect medical companies if it were to be put in place.
It's such a minuscule part of the population. Yeah. It's not even a big thing.
So do you
think
it matters what someone identifies as just to protect the country that they want to fight for?
Absolutely not. No.
Exactly.
I mean, no.
And for a third myth, transgender is just a phase. My child is too young to know.
I think for some people it might turn out to be a phase, but I don't think that that's anybody's. I don't think that's anybody else's place to determine for somebody. If it turns out to be a phase, then, you know, then it happened. But for many people, it's a very real thing in their lives, and, you know, I mean, just if it does turn out to be a phase, then that's not. But otherwise, you should just be supportive of people, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good answer. What is your opinion on, like, those parents who basically refuse to let their child, like, explore at such a young age their curiosities?
I mean, I'd say not even just related to sexuality or gender identity. I mean, I firmly believe that a child is not your property. So, I mean, they're a human being just like you. And as a parent, I think your responsibility is to, you know, try to help them with their lives. And the world is always changing. And just because something is, you know, kind of alien to you doesn't mean that it's wrong, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, with the whole, you know, children are the future thing, you should really keep that in mind, you know?
We are the world.
Yeah.
That's the funny thing, though, is that, like, whenever I've met those kind of people who said things like that, it's like, how come your child is too young to know their sexuality unless they're straight?
Exactly.
Because it's like they're 5 years old and they're holding a girl's hand in kindergarten,
yeah, exactly,
and they're all
exactly.
like, yay, you go for it. They're going to be married forever. And it's like you're already kind of...
Imagine if your kid was like, oh, I'm straight. And you're like, oh, no, you're too young to know that. Like, why does it only apply to, you know, things out of the norm? You know?
Imagine like having to come out as straight to your family.
Mom, dad, I'm straight. Imagine.
That'd be pretty interesting to...
Imagine.
If anybody's straight out there, let us know.
Yeah.
So for our fourth... myth is a really hot button issue that's come up recently. Letting trans people use gender specific bathrooms is dangerous.
Just what about it? I'm sorry.
What do you think about that myth?
Oh, well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's so many more dangerous things in the world than somebody like using the restroom. I mean, most people who go into a restroom are not, you know, like some sort of predator.
They're just trying to do their business.
They absolutely exist, and some of them might be transsexuals, but a lot of them are cis. A lot of them are straight. A lot of them are gay. It's not, I mean, there's so many things, like, there's so many things that have gone on in the world that haven't been done by transsexuals. I mean, you know, there's so many serial killers in the 70s and whatnot, and like, oh no, but it's fine if they do. Like, I don't know. I just think that it's very arbitrary. It doesn't really come from anything of, you know.
And with our political climate recently in, like, with the NRA and everything, yeah. A lot of people are saying, like, oh, like, the shooter was bullied. And there's this, like, meme that came up that was, like, if bullying caused people to be shooters, and you'd see a lot more queer POC and like LGBTQ shooters out there, and like that just doesn't exist. So it's like,
exactly,
yeah,
exactly.
And for our fifth myth, transitioning is easy, you just need sex reassignment surgery.
Oh, honey, oh dear. That's a doozy. I mean, if it were as easy as that, you know, you wouldn't really hear about trans people, would you? It'd be so much easy. You wouldn't have to be trans anymore. It'd just be, I mean, for some people, that's the end of it. But for many, many people, it's a lifelong struggle with yourself. And, you know, not everybody gets lucky in the same way that you do if you're cis or well off, you know, in every different way. So
I want to go back to that when you said it's a lifelong struggle, like, what do you think some people are searching for ultimately?
I mean, I think it's different for everybody. I can't really speak for everybody. I could speak for myself. But I think just as life is different for everybody, you know, I don't know. I mean,
what would you say you're looking for ultimately in your transition? If there is an end goal to it.
I mean, with respect, that's kind of one of the few things that I'm a bit private about. But, you know, sorry about that.
No, it's with fine. It's all, like, ultimately up to you, whatever you want to share. But I'd like to start off the show with the main question that I ask everybody. What does masculinity mean to you?
I was actually thinking about this stuff lately. I've been talking about it with my friend. We both kind of had the same experiences being raised as men. I mean, I lived around 15 to 16 years of my life as a guy. And I wouldn't say that, you know, masculinity is bad or anything, of course. But I think that the way that a lot of people in society kind of
condition us.
Yeah, and there's a lot of conditioning, and I mean, namely, my friend and I have kind of bonded over shared experiences of, I guess, at least with us, when you're raised as a guy, there's a lot of, like, doubt and a lot of guilt. There's a lot of guilt that really shouldn't be there. Like, we were definitely both raised, not by our parents or anything, but, you know, very subtly.
By your environment.
By the environment, with just the news and media and all sorts of that kind of stuff. Just little things that kind of all add up. For at least for us, I could say you're definitely raised to think that you're some sort of predator, or, you know, that you're automatically a, you know, pervert, and that, you know, the things that you do are wrong, even when there's, you know, clear and present consent given.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's definitely a lot of guilt there, and it sucks, you know. it's so hard to escape, and
yeah.
It's one of those things where you know that something is wrong, you know that, you know, like, oh well, you know, I shouldn't have been raised like that, but it still kind of follows you. So it's kind of something that you gotta unlearn. And, you know, maybe if you were raised to believe that you're, you know, some sort of criminal,
yeah,
then it's something that you unlearn throughout your whole life, you know?
So what did you learn about femininity growing up?
I mean, for me, from the very start, with my parents especially, they were always very accepting of a lot of things. They never really shoehorned me into, you know, different things like that. I could, you know, wear whatever I wanted. I mean, I'm still not really into wearing dresses or anything, but, you know, I guess masculinity and femininity for me growing up, they were never really such separate things in my eyes. And
okay.
I think it's
we're like a little bit of both.
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. I mean, it's such a complex thing. I don't really think that anybody has a completely made up mind on it, you know.
Mm-hmm. And for a lot of trans people, when they talk about, like, realizing it at such a young age, they talk about, oh, I have, like, a female brain. Can you elaborate on what that means, to know that you basically, like, woke up in the wrong body?
Yeah. There's a lot of debate about that, and I'm by no means a scientist. But, I mean, There's talk about, you know, female brain in terms of, like, logic and the way that you think. And then there's stuff where, I mean, waking up with a certain set of genitals is alien to you every single day. It feels like something that shouldn't be part of your body. And, you know, it's for me especially, it's kind of just one of those things where you forget about it most of the time. And then sometimes it'll come back into your mind, and
mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's a whole world of pain, but, you know, oh well.
Gotta live it, right?
Yeah.
And do you feel like, because of how you grew up in the environment, that it forces you to exude any kind of masculinity in your day-to-day life?
Actually, I would say the opposite for me. I feel like there's a lot of... this doesn't really relate to how I grew up, but I think for trans women especially, and trans men as well, there's definitely a lot of pressure to be, you know, hyper-feminine or hyper-masculine respectively, more so than cis women. It's
yeah.
Like, you know, like, cis women can get away with wearing jeans and stuff like that, but then if a trans woman, you know, doesn't wear a dress, and it's like, oh, well, you're not feminine
yeah.
enough, you know? Like, if you don't wear makeup as a trans woman, then it's kind of a double standard. But there definitely is a lot of, like, societal pressure to kind of overcompensate, I guess,
mm-hmm.
if you know what I mean. So,
well, to bounce off yeah. of that idea, I should have you define what the term passing means for the LGBT community.
Passing is when somebody doesn't know that you're trans. Passing is when someone looks at you and sees you as
the gender that you...
Yeah, I mean, like a stranger would.
Okay.
If you walk in somewhere and people have no idea that you're trans, then, you know, I think that's kind of the goal.
You passed the
test. Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of the goal, at least for me, and I think...
What is your opinion on it?
Can you elaborate?
On how basically people are treated differently based on, like, the criteria of passing that they
absolutely
fit.
Yeah. I mean, I think you should be a decent person to anybody regardless of what they
right?
look like. But I think that relates to what I talked about before with how I feel like cis men, you know, experimenting with makeup and stuff like that is a little bit more accepted, well, a lot more accepted than, let's say, trans men who are still kind of into makeup or still kind of, you know, the whole, like, pretty boy thing. So trans men are kind of expected to be hyper-masculine to pass, whereas, you know, cis people don't really get the same.
So they get almost, like, a sense of privilege.
Yeah, I guess.
They don't even, like, realize they have.
Yeah. I mean, to no fault of their own or anything. Yeah. But it's just unfortunate, I guess. It'd be nice if, you know, it wasn't that way.
What are some stereotypes that maybe even, like, cis men have subjected you to based on your identity?
I don't really know about stereotypes.
Or maybe even, like, expectations?
Expectations. There's, in terms of those expectations, I feel like it's stuff that I probably couldn't mention here. but, I mean, use your head to kind of fill in those things.
Well, that's kind of a topic that I wanted to bring up, actually, is that, like,
if you want me to talk about something, tell me, but I don't know.
Like, for example, there's apps like Grindr, which is like, it's like a gay Tinder.
Yes.
Like a social
site.
And there's people on there. There's like straight men that are on there that say they're like, they're only into CDs, which is like cross-dressers.
Okay.
Which is like men who still identify as men, but they just like dress as that.
Absolutely, yeah.
And femmes and trans people. And like, I wanted to ask your opinion. Like, do you feel like they are straight in the same sense that they are attracted to like the presentation of the female gender?
I mean,
like, what is your opinion on them kind of expecting people? Because they even put like sometimes in their profile. I mean, not that I've ever experienced that, but I've just heard about it. You know, that they say stuff like, if you're not passing, like, don't even bother like messaging me.
I mean, I think that that's a bit harsh, but it's understandable. I mean, everybody has their own tastes, and I mean, I think that they're completely, you
entitled
know,
to it.
Yeah, they're completely entitled to their tastes. I mean, that's for themselves, but like, if they're going to go and go out of their way to tell people stuff like that, then that's a whole different story. But for me, in terms of like guys, let's say straight men who say, you know, if they're feminine, then it's not gay or something. Like, it's like, if you're a straight guy and you're dating a girl, then it's straight. I mean, otherwise, you know, everybody has a different, you know, definition of straight or gay and whatnot. I think a lot of those people just kind of need to learn themselves better. Like, focus on you. You know, see what you're into.
That's when their masculinity can be kind of toxic, because they even, like, say, like, I'm a man and I'm into women. And it's like, you're on a male-for-male app looking for women.
Yeah, it's just a bit confused. I mean, I wish them the best. I wish them the best. Hopefully they can work out
May the odds be ever in their favor.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I'm here for counseling, whatever. Look.
I wanted to ask you if... Is masculinity linked to sex, gender, or... is it a social construct?
A little bit of all three, actually. I mean, I feel like that's kind of a lazy answer. But I feel like it's a little bit of all three, but more so that it's different for every person and your experiences and stuff. Like, obviously, my experiences growing up being, you know, quote-unquote male socialized are going to be a lot different from my, you know, from my friend who is, you know, born a guy and raised as a guy and all that kind of stuff.
How did you feel as almost like an outsider being socialized male and like knowing in your mind that you could step out of that and be like, wait, what is this? Like, you couldn't just accept it.
Do you want me to tell like kind of like the story of how I
kind
of figured out?
Yeah, if you
want
to go through your journey.
I guess, yeah. I mean, growing up most of my life, you know, I was into kind of, you know, like the whole, like, glam rock thing from the 80s, you know, the guys with the long hair and the makeup and everything. And then, it's embarrassing, but for a while I was really into, like J-pop, like, Japanese pop and rock and stuff, you know. And there's all the pretty boys take care of their skin and everything with the makeup. And I had no idea about myself, but I saw that and I was like, oh, I want to do that. Like, that's what I'm into. And at first it was like, oh, they're cool. these guys are I guess they're cool. I guess that's how I feel about them. And then you know, years later, I was maybe 15, and I heard about hormone therapy, and I didn't know why I wanted it, but I was like, oh, I want that, hopefully, someday. And then I was 16 years old, and I was in high school, and I came out to my mother, and, I mean, God bless her, she's amazing, I absolutely love her, but she's a warrior, as are most mothers, and she worried a lot about me, and I kind of... to kind of quell that, worried a lot about me in the sense that she was worried that I would face violence from other people.
Mm-hmm.
She just wanted
That's
me to be
That's
always
their concern.
Absolutely.
It's she not you I'm worried about. It's the world and how
Absolutely. And I understand that 100%. She was worried about my safety, so I kind of repressed that in myself. And, you know, 2 years later, I came out to my friends. And I actually just came out to my parents this February of 20...
Congratulations.
Thank you. 2017. Okay. And then I got on hormones on July 14th, 2017.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, it's, you know, it only ever gets better. And I know it's so cliche to say the whole it gets better thing. And if there's one thing I could add to the whole it gets better thing that everybody hears is that it doesn't necessarily get better, but you get better. You get better at handling things. Mm-hmm. It'll
get
easier.
You just get stronger.
Absolutely.
Thicker skin.
You definitely get thicker skin, and you definitely get stronger. And it's not really thicker skin like getting jaded to things, but, you know, it gets a lot easier over time.
And, you could say that it's like holding your breath for so long.
Absolutely.
And you finally, like, are breathing.
You got big lungs. Yeah, I mean, in the span of maybe 7 months, it changed from... you know, spending most of my days laying in bed and crying and thinking about hanging myself to, you know, having friends who I hang out with and getting on hormones and seeing the effects of that and, you know, having some hope in my life for, you know, something that might get better.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Well, I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
And I'd like to thank you for being on the show.
Thank you very much.
I have one last question
Absolutely.
For you. Is it masculine to cry?
Absolutely. I mean, it's human to cry. And, I mean, it's absolutely human to cry. And I, again, not by my parents, but from a lot of people, I was definitely told boys don't cry.
Yeah.
Boys aren't allowed to show emotion. And I think something else with that, at least for my own experience, when you tell somebody like that, it affects so much more than just men, too. Like,
yeah.
It's so human to be able to show your emotions. And I feel like so many problems in life and society would be solved by just listening.
Crying.
Just listening to people.
That's true.
Just listening to people talk about their problems and be more understanding of them, you know?
Yeah. That's a beautiful answer.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for being on our show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Kevin Barcinas with KPCRadio.com. And don't forget to tune into my friend Rita Begg's show, Ladylike, also on KPCRadio.com.